Today on Real Radio.
Do you pray for your kids before you send them off to school or send them wherever they go? Do they hear you pray? Well, I pray for them while I'm on the freeway commuting. Great, but do they hear you pray?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. In fact, we're in a mini-series called Worship at War. It's a look at parts of chapters 1 and 2 where we learn of how these two W's, worship and war, happen at the same time. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called Worship at War.
The people would come and they would have their choice meat that was dedicated to God. By the way, God took the fat, which was to be burned unto him. Now, you do know, especially we in America, that the fat is what adds flavor to the meat. But it's also what kills you. God says, give me the toxins. Even our offering to God is so little, really. And by the way, what we offer him is, yes, to be an act of respect and love and honor, but God is saying, you know what, you give that to me because you're going to be better off if you do give it to me. And you see, now it reverts back to what we said earlier about human logic. I don't think so, Jack. I think I'll do much better if I keep that 10%. No, because an amazing thing happens. When you give to the Lord blesses you back in ways, could be monetarily, more often than not, it's health, or some sort of blessings. Can't put a dollar tag on it. But God is so cool. It's the only thing that God says in the Bible, you cannot outgive me. If you give to me, God says, I will give back to you double, super duper, smashed together, compact, overflowing, abundantly in comparison to what you give to me. Isn't it wild? So what the people were doing is that they were coming to the Lord and they were loving God and they were bringing their $1.50. And you know what? Right before they got to the presence of the Lord to make the offering, Eli's sons stepped in and said, hey, give us 75 cents. No, I'm going to give you the 25 cents that's allowed it to you according to Moses. But 75 cents, no. And they would take the money by force. Can you imagine? These are priests of God. All who want to worship God, draw near. As people came near to offer their sacrifice, they would start pillaging these people and robbing them, taking the offering dedicated to God and put it in their pockets. And now in that case, it was meat. And they didn't want it boiled, they wanted it raw. I kid you not, they wanted to do their own barbecue. Truly. Because according to the law, the meat dedicated to God was to go into a pot and there was to be a hook put in and brought out, and whatever came out was given to the priest. It was an act of trust and faith. Do you see? It's kind of cool. People of God would come together, they would put their meat in a pot, and what this fish hook brought out, that portion, it could have been a whole lot, could have been a little bit, was given to the priest. The priest was to shut up and go his way and thank God for what was given him. Why? Because the priests were supposed to live by faith. But these, quote, men of God were robbing people and ripping them off. Spiritual worship? Hardly. Self-worship? Absolutely. How did this ever happen? I'm going to give you a few things. You might want to jot them down. In fact, I'm going to ask you to jot them down. How did this ever happen? Stand by. In verse 17 of chapter 2, it says there that the sin of these young men were very great before the Lord. Listen, for men, or so great was their sin that men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Phinehas and Hophni were so corrupt in the priesthood that people hated to come and worship God because they knew they were going to have to deal with the religious leaders. Isn't that tragic? It's sick. And yet, I believe you and I are living in a time that so many people have to tolerate getting past or through the so-called Christian or religious leadership just to get to God. It's horrible. Jesus liberates us. I mean, look who hung around Jesus. Thieves. Thieves hung around Jesus. Tax collectors hung around Jesus. Prostitutes. In fact, everybody hung around Jesus except the people who acted just like these two men. Think about it. Does not history and church history record that the Pharisees and these scribes were corrupt? Doesn't it say that throughout church history and at the birthing of the church that the scribes and Pharisees, they were very wealthy people? They drew so much money from the temple tax, they were rich. When you read of people like Caiaphas, oh man, hey, some of us have been to his house. You know, they have unearthed his home. Truly, not, well, we think it's his house. They literally found his house. And we've been there. Some of us went down. They built some stairs down into the dungeon that was there in his house because of the position he had. He had a place of where people were kept prior to trial. By the way, for those of you who remember, we leaned against the wall there. Remember the oils from the skin of people? They would lean against the wall in the shape of a cross. You could see 2,000-year-old body oil stains against the sandstone pit that's underneath his home, where people would stand in the form of a cross to identify with Jesus, because it is believed that prior to that kangaroo court that was held with Jesus and Caiaphas, that that's where they held him. And early church believers went and assumed that position because their Jesus, prior to his crucifixion, had gone into that pit. Interesting, huh? Religious leaders. So people hated to go, allow me to do this, people hated to go to church because of the leadership of the church. That is pathetic. So number one, ministry abuses. Ministry abuses. Number one, when the leaders forget God. When leaders forget God, so will the people under them. Why? Because you know what? They're not mindful of God anymore. They're not spirit-filled. They're man-filled. They're man-centered. So all that the ministry does is centered around a man. If the man dies, the ministry dies. If everything is pointed in that guy's direction, and listen, if that guy is doing all the ministry, it's going to die. He's not only going to burn out, but God will burn him out. In ministry, now some people in ministry have the mentality or temperament, and many of us are born this way, to do everything. It's easy. Isn't it easier to just do it all rather than take the time to explain it to somebody? And then they make 400 mistakes. So why go through that? And then, look, it's so much easier just to do it all. Until your friends say, you look like your dad. Or you're looking for 27 hours in one day. But doesn't the human spirit and the person that you really are, don't you flourish in that scenario instead of somebody just looming over you? God wants you to be free. When you come to church, you ought to be set free. The world out there beats you and I up all week long. It's not until we enter into the presence of God and worship that we do actual warfare and we're set free. You know what I'm talking about? It's outrageous. It's amazing. When leaders forget God, so do the people. It's a dangerous thing that trickles down, or I guess I should say in the church, bubbles up, Christian leaders should be at the bottom. If you want to draw the corporate pyramid, take that corporate pyramid of IBM and Ford and DuPont that we've all seen in books and turn the page up, turn the book upside down. And the church is at the top and the leadership's at the bottom. But the church is going to inherit because they watch what leadership does and they're going to start to mimic that. Second thing, danger. When they begin to personalize the ministry, what do I mean? When they begin to think that they're the one that's the reason for the blessings, the people will begin to think like that. If there's a ministry and that minister thinks, well, look at all these people coming just to hear me, that trickles down to people. Where's God in that? He is nowhere in that. Pure flesh. The Bible, if I might be so graphic but accurate, calls it foreskin. And it needs to be cut off. Why? Because it's dead flesh. Has no feeling. You can't talk to it. You can't teach it. You can't instruct it. It's dead. I love to go barefoot. Love it. My mother was from Hawaii, born and raised. She never wore shoes. And the bottom of her feet, she could walk on a hot summer's day, she could walk and stand in the middle of an asphalt street, and no problem. And I'm like, ow, you know, no, just freaking out. And not my, her feet were so callous, but I had that tendency to walk around barefoot. Plus, our house is the floor is brick. And so we all have rough feet, I think, in our house. But the thing is, you know what? I'm getting personal tonight. You're going to think I'm flipped out on this one, but too bad. It's just the way, it's the truth. My daughter bought me for Father's Day a pedicure. Do you know what that is? I didn't know what that was. And when she described to me what it was, I said, I'm not going to go do that. And she said, well, why not? I am not going to go have someone play with my feet. I am not going to do that. And she was, and I saw her face, and I said, okay, let's get in the car and go right now. Call him up. And she did, right then and there. She called him up, and we went down there, and I said, you stand or sit right next to me. And she did the whole time. And you know what that lady did? She looked at my feet, and she went, and she reached in her drawer and she pulled out a single-edged razor blade. And I'm thinking, whoa, whoa. And she grabbed my foot and started to cut meat off the bottom of my feet, especially my heel. Just whoosh, 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 whoosh. And she's just hacking away. No, there was nothing there. No blood, no nothing. And it's like, man, what's going on? She's cutting the dead flesh away. And then when she was done, I kid you not, guys, listen, women, you know what I'm talking about, right, ladies? When they were done with my feet, I was ruined. I'm tiptoeing around the house now. I'm going, oh, ow, oh, oh, ow. Why? My feet were sensitive. I could feel everything. God says, strip away the flesh. The ministers, and let me say something here. I'm not frying myself tonight. I'm frying you right along with me. We're all, listen, you may have been at your other church somewhere. I hope you enjoyed your rest because now you're here. We're all servants of God. We're ministers of the Lord. No more sitting around. We hear the word and then we go do the word. So the thing is, we are to have sensitive hearts. I don't mean sensitive in the true English word. We're to have compassionate hearts, resilient, not sensitive, compassionate hearts that are resilient, that will worship and go forward in spiritual warfare. Why? Eli never taught his sons to do this. And because they were not dedicated to God as Samuel was dedicated to God, both these or the three of these men grew up, one being a great prophet of God and two being great false prophets of God. Very serious. Third, ministry abuses when leadership fail to pass the torch to their children. This is very convicting, because if you're going to be involved in church work, there's a horrible, horrible world that you're going to live in. And it's this kind of a world. You will spend, I'm convinced of it now, I will spend the rest of my life believing, hoping that there's a balance between taking care of your needs and my family's needs, all the while neglecting my own need. I have to work at neglecting my own need. I'm called to take care of your need, but then I turn to my family's need, and there are volumes and libraries of books written about this. And I'm convinced of something now. There is no balance. I'm serious. It's impossible to do. You want to know why? You get upset with me when I'm not available because I'm spending time with my kids. My kids get upset with me because I'm not available because I'm spending time with you. I don't regret any of this. It's the ministry. Lord, just teach me how to manage it. And every minister, think about it. Those of you who have children, there are so many people. I don't know how many, Roy can tell me how many children's ministers that we have at this church, but don't we have like 700 or 800 kids, children, just in the children's ministry? You know how many people it takes on a Sunday morning to take care of nearly 1,000 kids? They're dedicated. They're committed. What do they give up during the week to see to it that your kids are being blessed right now at this hour? So, what do you want us to do about it? Nothing. Just pray for them. I'm just sharing with you. This is a family thing. It's called church. It's pretty radical. But be careful. And I have to be careful. Eli never passed the torch to his kids. Did Phinehas and Hophni, did they hear Eli praying for them during the night? Do your kids hear you praying for them during the night? I'm not here to put you on a trip. Do you pray for your kids before you send them off to school or send them wherever they go? Do they hear you pray? Well, I pray for them while I'm on the freeway commuting. Great, but do they hear you pray? Well, I'm not one to pray out loud. Listen, I'm not in the mood for excuses. I've had a long day. Just grow up. And you grab your son or you grab your daughter, and if you want to hug them, great. If not, just say, in fact, I like to look at them right in the eyes. Can you do that? I don't know, but I do it. I like to look at them right in the eyes and say, Lord, I pray that you would bless Ashley today as she heads off to school. Lord, fill her with your Holy Spirit. And sometimes I even play with her in the prayer. I'll be taking her to school, and I'll say, Lord, just totally bless her day. And may she feel you all around her today. And she's over there going, Dad. But you know what? There's going to be a day when she says, you know what? My dad prayed for me every day before school. Am I an example? I'm pathetically not an example. 5, abusive leadership happens when the ministry loses sight of the people they serve. A friend of mine told me, seriously, the ministry would be great if it wasn't for people. There would be no ministry without people. When we lose sight of the people that we're serving, those that serve under us will lose sight of that too. Oh man, a guy called today. Well, what's going on? Wanted to kill himself. We can become callous. You say, well, that's terrible. Oh, how many times has someone pulled up and you saw their headlights in your driveway? Draw the curtains, shut the door, turn off the lights. We're tired. Shh. We can become callous. We have to be careful. Don't lose sight that God is doing ministry. 6, and we're done with this. We have to be careful because the sons of Eli were guilty of all these things. The danger or ministry abuse is when they fail to know the Lord. When leadership does not know the Lord, the people under them will not know the Lord either. And I got to tell you, Sunday, last Sunday till to tonight, this afternoon, I had a great invitation to be at something that was hosted by Dallas Theological Seminary, but there were guys that got up, professors, and they spoke and gave their arguments regarding the inerrancy of the Bible, the prophetic word of God. What did Jesus mean when he said? All kinds of things. Some of them were great, and some of them, it was a time to go take a nap kind of a thing, you know? Man, it was tough. But there's some great moments. And I got to tell you, God so blessed me right when I didn't deserve it, because I'm sitting there and I'm listening and I'm trying to stay away. And this guy's got PhDs piled up, and he's got doctorates of this and masters of that. And his name honestly was smaller than the stuff behind his name. And the guy got up and he read for like 2 hours. And you know, you're trying, and it's like, oh Lord, surely the tribulation period has begun. And I got to tell you, I had the wrong attitude. It's like, man. Well, you know what? The Lord finally got through to me, and he said, you know what? All this stuff that these guys are talking about, the reason why you're not happy about it is because Pastor Chuck was so faithful to teach you this 20 years ago. But for 300 guys in the room, they were hearing it for the first time. They had come from churches and seminaries that just flit around in the Bible, and they talked about the stories and never went verse by verse or chapter by chapter through the Bible. And literally, I kid you not, they had an open microphone and people were coming up, pastors, saying, what did you mean a moment ago when you said the second coming? What do you mean second coming? I had to grab my mouth. And see, we laugh because we know so much about that. There are pastors in churches that don't know. They don't know. If they don't know that, then what about the blood? The blood of Christ. Do they know that? What about the virgin birth? What about Christmas? Do they know the reason why? To not know the word of God is to be like Eli and his sons, and it is to err. And we'll never be worshipers of God. It's terrible. But she dedicated her child unto the Lord, and Samuel grew.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Worship at War. It's a look at parts of chapters 1 and 2 of 1 Samuel. In fact, it's a series within a series, because this portion of Scripture reveals so much about these two W's, worship at war. We'll continue with this verse-by-verse study on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you seen our Monday night television program called Real Life with Jack Hibbs? We also have an app for your smartphone or your tablet that goes by the same name called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Lots of features connected to Real Radio right there at your fingertips, like Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which I personally love and that you can get via email. Also, our Wednesday night study is available, which also airs, by the way, on hischannel.com live on Wednesday nights. Our Real Radio podcasts are available. And of course, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, our Monday night TV program that deals with exactly that, real life issues from a biblical perspective. And a whole lot more when you download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store and look for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the new free app for your tablet or smartphone. Of course, to learn more, you could always visit us, realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Also, our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.